Psalm 100. There are many psalms of thanksgiving, but this is one, obviously, with the word thankfulness and thanks in it many times. A old preacher, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., used to say, "The loveliest flower that blooms in the garden of the heart is the flower of gratitude. And when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, he is well nigh gone." In other words, he's as good as dead. That's a great statement. I'd like you to take your Bible this morning. We looked at Psalm 100. We'll end with that, but go to Romans chapter 1. Go to Romans chapter 1. Thankfulness is something I know that all of us agree with. Nobody would say that you're not supposed to be thankful, and I know that. Whether somebody's lost or saved, everybody knows you're supposed to be thankful. However, what we have a tendency to do is forget, and I love this time of year. I think you're supposed to be thankful year-round. I think you're supposed to think of Jesus' birth and coming year-round. But I love the emphasis being put on this time of year. And Romans chapter 1, watch here what happens, okay? Romans chapter 1, look at verse 19. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." So God says what can be known of God, he shows people. Somebody says, "Well, I've never seen God." You've never looked. That's because they've never looked. God says he shows him. That's Romans 1:19. Look at verse 20. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." Just think about that just for a second. God says what's invisible about God the Creator, you can see in creation. Go outside, look at the trees, notice the arms stretched towards heaven. The trees reach towards heaven in praise to God. You'd have to be a fool to look at creation and say all of this just happened by happenstance. God says the invisible things are clearly seen. When you're willing to see the Lord, God says, "I'll show you myself." There's a reason we're looking at this. "Being understood," I'm in verse 20, "by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Then verse number 21 is going to start this horrible descent into God showing us our fallen nature. And Romans chapter 1 needs to be, I think, something, a tool in every Christian's toolbox and a warning, because look at how verse 21 starts. It says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God," and then these three words, "neither were thankful." Now, before we start this Romans chapter 1 and you marking here, it says they knew God, but they didn't glorify him and they weren't thankful. And because they weren't thankful, this downward progression begins. You say, progression for what? Look here, it says, they first became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. When you don't thank God like you're supposed to, it affects your mind and your heart, and the heart gets dark. Look, gratitude and thankfulness keep the hard times in life not so hard. I love this statement, thankfulness is a shock absorber. And without gratitude, without thank you, Lord, without that, the impacts of life and all of the disappointments that we go through hit us a lot harder. But when there's thankfulness, it's a shock absorber. And the ride is smoother. It's not as dark. You say, what makes it brighter? What makes life brighter? When you decide you can just thank everybody, I'll show you here, but everybody in here has something we can be thankful for. Everybody in here has something to praise God for. And you may be going through a hard time this morning. You may have had a rough week, but nobody, I'll say this later in the sermon, but nobody says thank you, Lord, too much. Nobody. Nobody does. Watch this. So their heart becomes darkened. Then verse 22. Watch what follows after unthankfulness. Verse 22. "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Verse 23. "And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." Right next to verse 23, I have written, idolatry begins. Where does idolatry start? Putting things before the Lord when you know him. Verse 21. And you don't glorify him, and you're not thankful. Then what follows? A dark heart and idolatry. We need to be thankful. Then look at verse number 24. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 24 says, God gave them up to uncleanness. That's immorality. That's sex outside of marriage. So first, you know God. Then you don't glorify Him, and your heart becomes dark because you don't thank Him. Then the idolatry begins, and then what follows idolatry? Immorality. See, and it all starts, says, through the lusts of their own hearts. So immorality starts. Then what happens? Look at the next. Look at verse 26. For this cause God gave them up. That's the second time God gives them up. Unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. That's talking about lesbianism. That's against nature. Then look at verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. You say, what's that talking about? Here we go. First you know God, then you don't glorify Him and you're not thankful, then your heart gets darkened, then what immediately follows is idolatry, immorality, and what always follows immorality? Homosexuality. Whether it's lesbianism or homos, it doesn't make any difference. God never made a queer. Men in their immorality make queers. Well, they want to blame God because that's convenient. God doesn't make homosexuals. Immorality makes homosexuals. And Romans chapter 1 is a very strong chapter. I wanted to start this morning. I know this is a dark topic. We'll keep on moving here in just a second. But Romans chapter 1 says it all starts with not being thankful. It all starts with not being thankful in verse 21. Let's just finish this. Ready? Watch this. Verse number 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's the third time God gives them up. God says it's over. Then they get a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then you have this long list of what is a reprobate, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. All that, verse 32 ends with it starting in verse 21 of what? They knew God. They knew God. This isn't somebody that doesn't know God. This is somebody that knows God but is not thankful. If this is a warning to me, it is, Greg Nash, you have a lot to be thankful for. And you better praise God for what He's done in your life and where He's brought you from, or you could start down this stair step just like anybody else. Romans chapter 1 is a very, I think, helpful chapter to a Christian. It reminds us, better be thankful. Better be thankful. I want you to know this morning, none of us are thankful by nature. None of us are thankful by nature. If you want to take your Bible, I'm going to cover some scripture, but I want you to take your Bible and go to Psalm 103, and then just listen to me. You take your Bible and go back to Psalms in the middle of your Bible and go to Psalm 103, and I'll continue there with you in just a minute. I want you to listen just for a second. None of us are thankful by nature. Anything you have to be taught to do is something that's against our nature. Anything you do without being taught is part of your nature. For instance, it's a duck's nature to swim. You don't have to teach a duck to swim, all right? It's not a cat's nature to swim. It's fun to throw them in the water, but they don't like water, okay? And that's a boy thing, all right? But cats don't like water. Cats don't like that. It's not in their nature, okay? I grew up torturing my sister's cat. I thought it was fantastic. So boys, don't do that. That's bad. Don't ever put tape on the bottom of the cat's feet and then watch it go around the house shaking it like this. Don't ever do that. That's horribly fun, terribly tragic. Don't do that. Okay, things that come naturally are part of our nature. Things that come naturally are part of our nature. God's word teaches us that we're sinners by nature. Romans 3, 22 and 23 says, there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no difference. All of us are sinners. We were born that way. It's natural to be ungrateful. It's natural to be proud. It's natural to be selfish. That's why a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You let that child do anything it wants to and never correct it, it will grow up and be a wicked individual. You have to teach the child, now don't you tell a lie. You have to teach the child, that isn't nice. You need to be nice. You need to be kind. Why? Because they're naturally mean. Anybody has a child in the nursery? No mom in our church teaches their child to bite another child. You don't have to teach them to bite. You have to teach them not to bite. I heard one mom saying, my child, you know, this was in two other churches ago. One child, you know, the baby gets bit, you know, it's got bite marks on it, and you know, and then the parent gets mad. You're teaching your child to bite children. You don't teach kids to bite. I know my wife, when our kids bit, all of our kids bit. Some of them bit more than others, but the moment they bit, my wife would grab them and bite them. You know why? That's old school. That's how you teach a kid not to bite. If you do that, that's how bad it hurts. Well, we bought airsoft for our boys. I said, now don't shoot nobody in the face. And, you know, oh, Dad, you know, so they all got their airsoft. I said, before you all go out and play with your airsoft, you know, they got goggles. I said, every one of you, take your airsoft, point it at your palm, now pull the trigger. I said, yeah, if it hurts in the hand, I said, don't shoot anybody in the face. Because it hurts. It hurts. All I'm telling you is you don't have to teach a child to bite. They have to be taught not to bite. They have to be told not to lie. They have to be taught to be kind. But to be nasty and selfish and self-centered, you don't have to teach anybody that. You have to teach them to tell the truth. You say, why? Because we're born sinners. No child is ever born with gratitude in his heart. They're cute, but they're born clenching their fists saying, that's mine. Psalm 58 verse 3 says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. Listen, they go astray as soon as they be born speaking lies. My baby would never tell a lie. No mom says that. Inexperienced moms say that. You know what I mean? Because if you take that further, ask the person, really, your kid never lies? My child would never lie. Everything that they say is inspired of God. They're gifted. Right. Right. Yeah, you got a Jeffrey Dahmer on your hands. It's all I'm telling you this morning is it's unnatural. It's not natural for any of us to be grateful and thankful. Children have to be taught to say thank you and please. My grandma, both my grandmas. You want this? What do we say? What do we say? Please. There we go. Now what do we say? Thank you. Remember that? Remember? And then drill it. No, you don't get it if you don't say what? Please. My sixth grade teacher, she was nuts on this. She was nuts. My sixth grade teacher, all year long, before you started anything, you said, yes, please. Yes, please. May I have a piece of paper, please? Thank you, please. She said, you're welcome, please. You're blessing me by how much you're saying please this morning. She was a big woman, well upholstered. But man, Mrs. Thompson, you did not. It was yes, please, thank you, please, no, please. May I use the restroom, please? May I have a hall pass, please? No, it got ingrained. You understand? You say, and I'm thankful for that. How come that's not happening nowadays? No, you don't get this till you do what? They have to be taught to be grateful because they're not. There's no great gratitude there. You have to make them say thank you. You have to teach them to say it again and again. Listen to this. A soldier in the Third Army was sent to rest camp after a period of active service. When he returned to his outfit, he wrote a letter to General Patton, thanking him for the great care that he had received at the rest camp. General Patton wrote back, and this is what he said. For 35 years, he had sought to give all the comfort and conveniences he could to his men, and added that this was the first letter of thanks he had received in all of his years in the Army. In 35 years. That shows how naturally ungrateful we are. How do you have a thankful heart? I think, first of all, the foundation of thankfulness begins with realize that all you have comes from God. Everything you have. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, but thou shalt remember that the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Look, anything good we have comes from God. I can sin on my own. I can destroy my life on my own. I can make a mess out of everything I touch. But anything good that happens in my life is because God did it. Do you understand? God gave me my wife. God gave me my children. God gave me my home. God gave anything good in me. The Lord did that. And can I just tell you this morning, if you want want a truly thankful heart, it begins with saying, God gave me everything. Everything I have comes from God. Everything. Can I just ask you this question this morning? Let's go the other way. What do you have that God has not given you? Nothing. What do you have that God has not given you? Psalm 24 verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. We live on God's earth. We breathe God's air. We drink God's water. We eat God's food. We should be grateful for our house and the roof over our heads. We shouldn't take God's blessing for granted. I remember they had us bed down in the Marine Corps. It was some, I can't remember all the details. I just remember we had to bed down in a stream. And I thought, this is stupid. The stream was running 2 inches deep. They said, and I was, how come we can't go over on the bank? There was a bank over here with rocks, and there was a bank over here. You're going to bed down right here in the... Okay. So you roll out your bed mat. It's floating, you know. So you put your foot on it. And then we rolled out our sleeping bag, put that in the water. I was like, this is stupid. Now get in your sleeping bag. So we got in our sleeping bag, and here I am. The water is running over my ears. We're laying in a stream. We stayed there, I think, about 4 hours. And I remember after laying in that stream, okay, now it's time to get up, roll up. Nobody slept. You don't sleep in running cold water. You know what I mean? Oh, that was a great night's sleep. That was. Remember, got up, rolled up my... I was upset. I thought, this is the stupidest thing. They were just teaching us, do what you're told. You know, keep your mouth shut. Rolled up my sleeping bag, wringing it out, you know, like this, and putting it in the bag, rolled up my mat. Let me tell you something. After sleeping in a, trying to sleep, in a stream, every time I lay down my head down on a bed, I remember, this is good. Ain't no running water. And the pillow ain't wet. We should thank God for our house, our homes. I remember when we were in France, I've told you the story. We got off a 18-mile forced march. My feet were all blistered. I never had bloody feet, but I had hot spots. And I remember it was time to, you know, we were going up to a shower, and they had, thank you, France. They hate Americans anyways, but I still want to know if the French had hot water that night. I'll bet they did. But anyways, in our camp, we went up there, and here all of us are, you know, we're going up there, and I got my shower shoes on and walking up, and there's guys screaming in here. You hear the screaming from, ah, oh, ah, oh, ah. And I was like, what are they screaming for? It sounds like a torture building or whatever. We get in there, and there's all these little stalls, and there's these like hoses hanging, you know, you turn it on, and there's no hot water. And, you know, when it comes out stream-wise, you can't, like, you know, slightly get into it. It's like all or nothing. And I remember going in there, you know, and it not showering wasn't an option. So it was kind of like, ah! See that? You know what? Well, when I took my shower this morning, I don't take a shower now without thanking the Lord for hot water. Do you know why? Because I've been in rough situations where there wasn't any hot water. And I say it all the time. Thank you, Lord, for the soap. And thank you, Lord, for hot water. And Lord, I'm so blessed. Turn the lights on and I got comfort. Man, I'm blessed. Can I just tell you this morning? You're blessed. You may not see it, but everybody in here, you have a lot to be thankful for. A lot to be thankful for. We shouldn't take God's blessings for granted. The most wicked, sinful person is the one who thinks he's a self-made individual, and he fails to recognize that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. You're in Psalm 103. I wish you'd look at this later and just think about it. But Psalm 103, look at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. I think the key word there is, don't forget what God's done for you. Don't forget His benefits. You say, what are His benefits? Look at verse 3. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He gives us good things to eat. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. Look at verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. God hasn't spanked you for everything you've done wrong. You haven't been caught for everything you've done wrong. He has not dealt with us after our sins. And that deserves a big thank you from every person in here. I know it starts with me. Thank you, God. What a merciful God. He has not dealt with me. He has not given me what I deserve. What I deserve is hell. That's what I deserve. I'm a hell-deserving, law-breaking sinner that He had mercy on when I placed my faith in His Son and what He did for me on the cross. Let's just finish this. Look at verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. I love this. And like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Verse 14, He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Well, what do I have to be thankful for? Because you deserve hell, and God knows all about your sin, and God knows God knew everything, every place you would fail Him, and yet He still loved you, and He still made salvation possible for you. What a God! He knew about me, and yet He was still willing to have mercy on me. He knows that I'm just flesh. What a God! Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Can I just remind you this morning, you owe your existence to God. God owns you because He made you. God made you from the dust of the earth and gave you your breath of life. Your heart beats at God's command. If you have placed your faith in Christ Jesus, God owns you twice. He created you. And He redeemed you. He owns you twice. He bought you with His own blood if you're saved this morning. Everything you have is from God. All you have and anything you are that is good is because of God. A man came into this post office with big, beautiful tomatoes. He was carrying them. Man said, "Hey, wow, where'd you get those?" He said, "I raised them." He goes, "You raised them?" He said, "Well, I know the Lord did it, but you should have seen my garden before I started helping the Lord with the weeds." No, all you have comes from the Lord. Man was sitting, he had just gotten saved, and he used to gamble. And his friends came over and said, "Hey, why don't you come on and play cards with us?" He said, I can't do that. They said, No, we know you like to play cards. Go ahead and come on, let's go play cards." He says, "I can't do that. I don't do that anymore." "Well, why not?" "Well, I don't have any hands." They looked down at his hands. He was sitting in the chair. He said, "You got two hands right there. They're perfectly fine." He said, "No," he said, I can't play them." "Well, if those aren't your hands, then whose are they?" He said, "They belong to God. These are God's hands. They don't play cards anymore." Any change in my life that has happened that's good, the Lord did. The Lord did. You say, what should we be thankful for? Take your Bible and go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. You're there in Psalm. Go back to the New Testament to Ephesians chapter 5. I just want to show you two more verses here. Ephesians chapter 5. What should we be thankful for? Giving Ephesians 5:20, God says here, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." We're supposed to thank God for all things, even the bad, even the bad. We're to thank the Lord for our house. If we have a vehicle, we're supposed to thank the Lord for our vehicle. How about a raise in pay? How about your good health? And if your health breaks, you're supposed to thank the Lord. And when we lose loved ones, we're supposed to thank the Lord. Someone said, "Well, I just don't understand how you can thank the Lord for all things." Somebody said, "Here, you got to come meet this thankful preacher." They walked into the church, and it was the night of the revival, and it was raining, getting ready to start hailing and stuff like this. Nobody was in there but these two guys that had come to see the preacher, and he was preaching that night. They said, "Well, there's nobody here." They said, "No, you got to meet this guy." Nobody was in the church that night. The guy, they came up and said, "Well, sorry that the meeting's like this. You know, nobody's here tonight, and what do you think?" He said, "I'm so thankful." "Thankful? Thankful for what?" He said, "Gentlemen," he said, "let's pray." And he said, "Lord, thank you. Thank you for the weather. And Lord, I know it's rainy and it's getting ready to hail. And Lord, I know it's real treacherous outside. But Lord, thank you that it's not always this way. Thank you that it's not always this way." They said, "Yeah, that's one of the most thankful people I've ever met." All of us can be thankful. We're supposed to even thank the Lord for the bad. Now, the only way you can do this is if you take Ephesians 5:20, thank the Lord for all things, and take your Bible now and go to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8. Verse 28. Romans 8:28. If you put Ephesians 5:20 with Romans 8:28, that's the only way I know that you can, consciously thank God for the bad times. Look at Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." All things don't work together for good. They work together for good when you love God. And I preached on that a little bit ago. But I can only thank God for the bad things when I use Romans 8:28, saying, I don't know how this is going to work into something good, but Lord, you said it would, so thank you for what I'm going through. Matthew Henry, he wrote some books about the Bible, and he was robbed one day by thieves. And they took his wallet, and he wrote these lines in his diary. He said, I'm thankful today, number one, because I have never been robbed before. He said, number two, I'm thankful because although they took my wallet, they didn't take my life. He said, I'm also thankful. He said, number three, although they took everything I had, it wasn't much. And number four, I'm thankful because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. Remember, there's always something to thank God for. If you look at the list this morning on Thanksgiving, I think, first of all, if you take this list with you, if you put it in your Bible, I think it's a tremendous help. But if you think about eternal things, first of all, you can thank God for creation. You can thank God that He made you in this age. I wasn't born in the 1700s when they thought when you get sick, they're supposed to let your blood out of you, like they did George Washington, and they bled him to death. Well, here, it's just in your blood. You got to get that bad blood out. I'm thankful I was born in this age. I'm thankful that He knows me. You can thank God that He hears you when you pray. You can thank God that He came to earth. You can thank God for His life on the earth, that it was perfect. Then all these traits of Jesus, for His virgin birth, for His sinless life. You ought to thank the Lord that He's sinless. You ought to thank the Lord for His vicarious death. He died in your place. Thank the Lord for His precious blood, and thank the Lord for His resurrection, that He's alive and He rose again. Thank the Lord for preparing a place for me in heaven. He promised He would. John chapter 14, verse 1. Thank the Lord that He's praying for you right now. He's interceding for you right now. Thank Him for that. Someone's praying for you. Thank the Lord that He's coming again. I don't know when. You could then thank the Lord for spiritual things. Thank the Lord that He's preserved His word for you in the King James Bible. Thank the Lord that for the work of the Holy Spirit in using you. God wants to use every person. Thank Him for that. Thank the Lord for your preacher. Amen. You say, well, how come? Because I know some churches that haven't had a pastor for years. And that taught me a long time ago. No, they're not a dime a dozen. Thank the Lord for your church. Thank the Lord you had a nice place to come this morning, to go to church. You ought to thank the Lord for answers to prayer. You ought to thank the Lord for keeping His promises to you. He's never lied to you one time, and everything He's told you has always come true. You ought to thank the Lord for opportunities in the future to serve Him. Thank you, Lord, for life to serve you. Thank you, Lord, that you're in total control of what's going on. And how about thanking the Lord for physical things? Have you thought the Lord for your health? Thank the Lord for your health recently? Have you thanked Him that you can move? Have you thanked Him? Brother Manuel, he's thankful for every day. Have you thanked the Lord for your food? Have you thanked the Lord for your house? How about the clothes that you wear? Have you thanked the Lord for your car? Have you thanked the Lord for seasonal blessings? That's heat in the winter and air conditioning in the summer. Have you thanked the Lord for your wonderful family? I mean, thank the Lord. Have you thanked the Lord for, how about people? I categorized it this way. Those nearest and dearest to you, think about them. Thank you, Lord, for so-and-so, and thank you, Lord, for this person, and thank you, Lord, for this person. How about this? Thanking, Lord, for people who recently blessed you. I was blessed yesterday, Brother Tom Williamson. It was a blessing spending time with him. Brother, I could go through the whole line here, but Brother Dog, it was a blessing to me yesterday, helping me with soul winning. I have so many people that I'm thankful for. Thank you, Lord, for people that are they bless me. Thank you, Lord. I don't deserve that. How about this? How about those who've recently crossed your path? Could you thank the Lord for that? You say, why would you do a list like this? This helps me think through, and this isn't everything God's done for me, but this helps me think things through on being thankful. And I have a lot to be thankful for, like I believe everybody in this room does. This morning, we can abound in thanksgiving. God says, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Psalm 71, verse 8. Look, you're either thankful or you're complaining all the time. And the only reason somebody isn't grateful is because they're proud. I deserve more than this. I'm worth more than this. And I get treated this way. It's pride. That's pride. It may not happen to that degree, but anytime you get unthankful and you think you deserve more, it is pride. It is pride. Being satisfied and thankful is a decision. Dr. Tom Malone asked someone, he said, how are you getting along? The man replied, well, pretty good under the circumstances. Dr. Malone said, well, what are you doing under there? Lester Roloff used to say, amidst all his lawsuits against his girl's home, praise God anyhow. That was a Lester Olof statement.
Thinking is the key to thankfulness. The old Anglo-Saxon language, the word thankfulness means thankfulness. The more you think about what God's done for you, the more thankful you'll be. People who don't thank God much don't think much. Think about your wife.
I thank the Lord for my wife. And the only reason I would take her for granted is because I don't think about her. I can get thankful real quick if I just picture, what if the Lord called her home tomorrow? I'd be a mess. I don't like thinking about that. I'd have to really trust the Lord that He knew what was going on. I'm blessed by my wife. My wife is a wonderful lady, and I'm so thankful for her. But I'm thankful about her for her when I think about her and what she does. You ought to think about your children. Think about your health so you can thank God for it. Think about your godly friends that the Lord has given you. Thinking is the way to be thankful. Man went up to the realtor and he said, I want to sell my house. I want it sold as quickly as possible. And the realtor goes, okay, well, to sell your house, I got to know some things about your house. You know, tell me about your house. How many square foot and, you know, where's it located and all this. And he's right. And so he's going, oh, it's got these windows and it's got this and it's got this three-step up into the living room. And then it's got this big of a living room. It's got this kind of central heat. It's got this air. It's got this. And the man went on for about 15 minutes. The realtor's writing, right? And then he said, okay, I can sell your house for, you know, he gave him the amount. He goes, you know, that sounds like the house I've always wanted. He said, I don't want to sell my house anymore. You know what the realtor did? The realtor made him think about his house. Well, describe your house to me. Oh, that sounds like a mighty nice house. I don't want to sell it anymore. I think thinking is the way to be thankful. If you're saved this morning, Psalm 116, verse 12 says, what shall I render? We read it during the offering, but what shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. This morning, I wanted to give you the name of the sermon as being thankful. And I love this time of year because I don't think for a Christian, Thursday's Turkey Day. We're the only nation in the world with a day of giving thanks to God for what He's done that goes all the way back. And I think for a Christian, Thursday isn't Turkey Day. It's Thanksgiving Day. My grandpa used to stand up with the family on this side, family on this side. I remember as a boy, 12 years old, we'd all sit with our families, and there was four families there at the table. Big, long table. The whole front of the house was the table from start to finish. And when it was time to eat on Thanksgiving, my grandpa would stand up, and he would say, this is the fruit of my loins. This is what God's given me. And I'm thankful for every person here. And he'd say, let's pray. And nobody moved. It was Thanksgiving Day for what God has done. I think you ought to be thankful year round. But I hope this Thursday, get the day off work, praise the Lord, and get to spend time with family. I hope you can take that list and you can go somewhere and get alone and you can thank the Lord for what He's done in your life, because none of us say thank you too much. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank